Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Rusty Watts, 17 years of volunteer and career experience, currently a Firefighter 2 on the back of Ladder 31 for the Charlotte Fire Department. Rusty is as humble as they come, a fireman who just wants to be good at the job and doesn't mind going out training, working out, trying to make those around him better, and attending conferences outside his department. With that, I present Mr. Rusty Watts.
All right, my name is Rusty Watts. So how I got into the fire service. So I was in high school. It was my sophomore year. My mom and I were actually eating dinner at some friends of ours from church. We're eating at their house. And he was a volunteer with the Atwell Fire Department here in Rowan County. And his pager goes off, got a call. He says, "Hey, you want to ride along?" I say, "Yeah, sure." So we jump in his truck and we take off. Went POV to the scene. I believe it was a traffic accident. And then after we got back, he said, "Do you want me to get you an application to join?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. You know, why not? Give me something to do." So that right there kind of kicked it off as far as that. Now, I was still in high school. I went from a range of things before I landed on the fire service. It wasn't until actually my senior year that I decided that that's what I wanted to do full time. I did like two little internships my senior year of high school. One of them was actually with the City of Concord Fire Department. And then whenever I graduated high school, I went and went to the college, got my certs, applied for Concord, got on. And man, I've been rocking and rolling ever since. But yeah, it's been it's crazy to see how fast time has gone by,
right?
Just from that point. But,
yeah. Okay, all right. So you started in the game young, at a young age, which is always good. It's always good. I mean, you could come in at any age, but the younger the better, because you know the more time you get, and then you could probably retire at like a decent middle age. So that's cool. So you got hired at Concord, you started your career there. What led you to decide? Was it the appeal of a bigger city? Cause Concord is not small either. So
mm-hmm. Yep.
What was the main goal? Always Charlotte?
So it was, so at the time that I was on Atwell Fire Department, one of the assistant chiefs at the time, he is now a current retired battalion chief out of Charlotte. His name is Martin Whitson. A guy that I kind of consider a mentor. He was Atwell's assistant chief of training. And the time I was around him, he wasn't even a captain yet. I think he was an engineer. And then he made relief captain while I was still on Atwell. But just being around him and the type of man he was, and I'm like, you know, this is who I want to be. You know, this is the guy I want to be. I want to be where he's at. And with Charlotte being a bigger city, you know, Charlotte to me is my Chicago or FDNY. I'm a local Rowan County guy, local guy here to North Carolina. All my family's here. I never had the will or desire to move off. To go somewhere huge in the fire service, like those cities and you know, DC and anything like that. So to me, Charlotte is my FDNY. It's the biggest city that I'm ever going to work for. But yes, so Concord is a great place, first and foremost. And I still have a lot of friends that are on there. But yes, so Charlotte was always in my eye, and then it just presented with so much more opportunity. The advancement, the positions, the pay, things that Concord was having a hard time competing with. And especially with Concord, guys that I went through class with there had started promoting and, you know, making, you know, senior firefighter and captain and stuff like that, you know. And as younger guys promote, especially in with smaller departments, you lock those positions up. Like they're, you know, especially if you promote Young in a smaller department as a captain, you know, you've locked that position up for now another 15, 20 years. So I saw it, and because I wasn't promoting at Concord, I had a at that age, and while I was there, I had a very hard self-confidence issue when it came to stuff like that. And I saw myself sitting there as a firefighter, which is not necessarily the problem, but everybody else promoting ahead of me, they were going to lock positions up that I was never going to be able to get. So yeah, so that's whenever I started really digging in and testing for Charlotte. It took me 7 years, seven testing processes to get on Charlotte. It was it took a long time, and man, that last one about had me in tears, because I didn't know if I was going to make it, and if I wasn't, I was going to have to start figuring some things out, like start digging deep at Concord, you know, getting ready for promotions, because I was starting to hit an age that I felt like, you know, was going to be the settle down point. Like if I don't get on Charlotte by this age, then I'm going to have to dig in at Concord and get ready for promotions. But yep, then it happened, and yeah, here I am 8 years later.
Okay. All right. I love the consistency, man, because you're not the only person that I know that. I mean, you have some guys who are like, it's like they hit the lottery, man. One, they try one time and they get on. It's like, damn,
I know a
been a
couple. I
year.
know a couple personally that are friends of mine that got hired on year one.
It's crazy, man. And then you like talk to people that was like you just said seven times. I think I don't know the exact number, but like I'm sure you know Brandon Chapman. He I think he was like eight or nine times. And it's just that consistency of just keep putting in, keep putting in, keep putting in. But that's awesome, man. So when you got hired at Charlotte, where was your first assignment?
So actually, believe it or not, I'm back at my first assignment. My first assignment was Ladder 31.
Okay.
And I know it's not the busiest ride, and I know we'll probably talk about that a little later, but yeah, that was my first assignment, right out of the academy, which was great because I was so worried I was going to go to the airport because I already had my ARF, because it was tradition that a lot of people out of the academy would go to the airport. And I started thinking, like, crap, if they look at my certs, that I've already got state ARF certifications. I was like, I'm a shoo-in for the airport. But luckily enough, so when you graduate the academy, you get the they bring out a, they write on the whiteboard current assignments that they let you pick from, whatever's open. And luckily enough, there wasn't no airport assignments, but there were some that were temporary assignments. And those ones that had that got the temporary assignments might end up at the airport. It was like a 2 week, 2 or 3 week temporary. And then those folks ended up going to the airport. But yeah, I made high enough. I was fourth in my class, academic wise. So I was able to pick good. So I picked the Ladder 31.
Okay. Awesome. You mentioned Whitson as one of your mentors. I worked with Whitson for 6 years when I was at Davidson, and he was a smart dude. You could ask him anything and he would tell you, you know, he would know a lot about rural water supply being on with Atwell. Atwell has a lot of rural areas, you know, in their first due. But no, Whitson was one of those people you could ask him a question, pick his brain. He would tell you things. And, you know, me looking at Whitson as what I call an old head. And by that, I mean, like, he has knowledge. The man's been doing it longer than I have. So why not talk to those guys, pick their brains, get some ideas of things that, you know, that you're either unfamiliar with or unsure of. So you mentioned Martin, and I was like, man, that's some memories right there, man. He was a good dude. He's a good dude. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask you the first question now. What does the term aggressive mean to you?
Okay. So I've actually been, I tried so hard to make notes, but man, I know you're a parent and in the fire service, and man, I tried to make notes for this whole thing, but anytime I thought I was getting a free shot to sit down and rest, it just wasn't happening. So, but I've been thinking a lot about this, you know. So aggressive to me, I feel aggressive in the fire service. I really feel it depends on who you are as to what aggressive means. I really think that overall is a personal term because some people will say this is aggressive, or some people will say this is. And so I look at it as knowing your job and doing your job, but also being smart and knowing when to pull back. You know, there's so much, you know, and if there's people listening and they disagree with this, you know, that's fine. I'm not here to make a ton of friends, but you know, being aggressive also means knowing when to pull back and say no, because not every situation is going to be a go, go, go. You know, I know the pushes, and don't get me wrong, I'm all, especially being on a ladder, I'm all for this, you know, prioritizing the search, you know, getting in there. But man, the thing is that not every house, you know, is going to dictate that, especially if it's quote unquote abandoned. If it's not like, if it's not a true occupied house that you see that, or, you know, something like that, if it's a dilapidated house, yeah, very well, it could be occupied. I'm not saying it's not, you know, squatters and homeless get into those buildings all the time. But the thing is I was thinking about this earlier today, is that to be aggressive, you also have to know when to say no, because, and this is one of the reasons why I haven't really prepared to promote yet to captain, because of decisions like this that's going to be on my mind. You pull up to a working house fire that's quote that's possibly abandoned. You know, it doesn't, it's grown up. You know, it doesn't look like there's anybody that's lived there for quite a while. So you know, it's not like a your traditional neighborhood house, right? You know, depending on the fire, you know, if there, you know, heavy smoke, heavy fire and stuff like that, you look at it and it's dilapidated, you, the roof's kind of coming in on one side of it. You as the captain, it's on you. So if you put your guys in there and the roof comes in because it was an unsound house, you know, and you potentially kill your guys trying to get in there to do a search, you know, you as a company officer have to live with that decision. Now, granted, we have to live with every decision we make in this job, whether it be, you know, putting our own guys in harm's way, or, you know, or a possible victim inside. You know, I'm not saying that either one of them should be written off, but just I kind of went that direction to make a point, is that to be aggressive, yes, you have to know your job and do your job and, you know, try to get in there and search, but you also have to be smart. Look at every situation and analyze it and make sure that's right. If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I totally get your perspective 100%. And it's one of those things, you know, I feel like depending on your department, you know, some departments are going through growing pains like crazy, man. You know, the senior guys and the senior guys and gals are retiring. And so, you know, you have to form that new generation of officers for the department. But what I want people to realize is being a captain is more than just the title, the bugles, riding up in that front right seat. Like, you have a lot of decisions that you have to make, and you have to be okay with making it. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I want to be a captain one day, but there's a lot. Like, if this was like a bulletin point or a PowerPoint, like, there are a lot of bullets that are going to be on there. If you make that decision, stick with it, with whatever happens, happens. No person wants to injure their crew, but injury may result. Are you okay with the decision that you made by doing it? But that's why, too, you know, with your scenario, you know, 360 should be completed. You should be looking at what the fire's telling you, signs, things of that nature. Find out from neighbors if neighbors are there, like, hey, is anybody in there? And I know you never go off of the word of neighbors and bystanders 100%, but there are key things you have to look at. So I totally get your perspective on that 100%. And I do like the fact that you mentioned, like, that's kind of why you're like, captain, question mark. Like, sure, maybe, but it's a big responsibility.
And I know those scenarios, you know, are few and far between, but you know, it can happen, you know, and you just got to be, you know, that's where that's where riding with good company officers comes into play, you know, picking their brains. Like mine, my company officer, man, I love him. He's a good dude, but I can go and tell you, I mean, he'll talk if you talk, but he's a very silent guy. He doesn't say much around the fire station. If you get him talk, he's on, he works for Huntersville part time. So if you get him talking about duck hunting or Huntersville, he'll sit there and talk with you. But you know, I trust him. Like he's smart. His dad retired from Charlotte. So you know, I would definitely trust him. You know, if he told me, hey, we're gonna search this house, then we're gonna search the house. So you know, it's all about, you know, your company officers that you have and picking brains and getting experience. But yeah, like I said, it's just, you know, aggressive is knowing your job and doing your job and doing it right. But it's also knowing when to draw that line and pull back.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Next question actually goes perfect with what we just talked about. With your fire service experience, do you think that there should be a years of service clause for promotion?
Yes, and I say this because of expanding quickly and the staffing needs is all the people that are entering into the fire service with no experience at all, never volunteered, never worked part-time anywhere. They may have a college degree, which is good. But here's the thing, you know, coming in, you know, a college degree is great. You know, an educated person is great, but at the same time, this is still a blue collar job. It's boots on the ground. It's hands on. It's dirty, and it's experience. So you need to combine the two, because I hear so many people have said over the years, oh, you know, when they talk about, you know, departments pushing college degrees, yeah, maybe not so much for firemen. I get it, you know, but you know, once you get the chief level and all that stuff, sure. But the thing is that, you know, people coming in green, even with a college degree, you're a great test taker, and you're articulate or whatever, and you know, and great with policies and procedures. But you've got to have that experience behind you. So if you come in green, you know, and yeah, you've met all of the qualifications in, I think with Charlotte, you can make firefighter two at 3 years on, then time and grade. You only have to spend, I think, is a year at a firefighter two before you can test for captain. So you can get somebody on Charlotte coming in very green or green as can be, never been on a fire truck before. And at the 4 year mark, if they've got all the qualifications like certifications, degree, whatever, they can test for captain. I don't necessarily feel the greatest about that, because it depends on it, it's only 4 years. Now they could have went to a busy company and stayed there for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, you know, but some will question even still, is that enough to make a good captain? You know? So it's just, I feel that we do, but the problem you run into is with staffing issues right now. And we're seeing it at Charlotte. You know, we're trying to keep up with retirements. We're adding new companies. So we're getting to the point where on engineers and even captains lists, we're exhausting promotional lists, because we've got the positions that we've got to fill. So, you know, it's a catch 22. Departments need the positions, but at the same time, you want the right guys in those positions.
Right.
So it's so hard to institute, you know, that experience requirement, or you
Right.
know, or time in requirement, because then what do? So you've got guys waiting on time, and now you've got positions that you can't, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I
Right.
don't know, it's a tough one.
Right. Right. No.
I'm in favor of it, just because of the circumstances of having people come in with no experience in promoting. But yeah, I think it's truly a catch 22. And so you got to kind of watch that really easy.
Okay. All right. A personal question. When do you see yourself, if you ever do see yourself promoting for captain, when do you think that'll be?
Oh man, yeah, I've thought a lot about this too.
And it's a question I ask everybody. It's not like a, I'm trying to toot your own horn, you
Oh
know,
no, you're
here you
fine.
go. It's just, I always ask, like, what are people's end goals?
No, you're good. So I would like to get outside of my company and go to another company before one before trying. Ladder 31's great. It's not the busiest. So I would like to do that. Next year I do plan on working on our company officer development program and stuff like that to at least go ahead and have it. Doesn't mean I'm going to test anytime soon, but to go ahead and get the stuff because you have to have the fire officer 1 and 2 company officer development year-long thing and all that type of stuff. So I can at least go ahead and get that underneath my belt. But yeah, I don't know. It's that's a very tough question too, because I would like to see myself leading a crew one day. But at the same time, you know, part of me wants to be that senior guy, to be the senior guy on the rig, that didn't promote, not because he couldn't, but because he didn't want to. You know, he likes doing the stuff. And even that's been a challenge for me. I've had a conversation with one of our retired captains a few months ago, and he's another good one that we lost. I don't know if you ever heard of him, got to meet him, named Chris Ruffert. He retired out of Tower Ladder 3, was captain of Ladder 29, which turned into Ladder 3. Super guy, very, very smart. Taught my forcible entry in the academy. He's a whiz at vehicle extrication. He actually helps teach at the Southeast Extrication School with Toot and them. He goes down there and helps out. I had a conversation with him about, you know, it's so hard to get in the mindset of now being the senior guy. So I've got, you know, 8 years at Charlotte, you know, another eight and a half of Concord. So I'm midway, a little midway through a career. And I had a conversation with him. I said, it's so hard to get into that mindset of now being the senior guy. Like I still feel young enough. And I mean, I'm only 35, but you know, I still feel young enough that I still feel like I'm in my younger days of the service where I'm still looking up to those older guys or, you know, the senior guys that I come underneath. And now they're all going. They're promoting up or they're retiring out, you know, and so here I am, you know, now trying to fill their shoes. And to me, that's been such a challenge mindset wise. You know, I do believe I'm ready knowledge wise. But you know, it's been such a hard concept to come about. It's like, you know, I've been getting you know, rotating new guys on my trucks. We get guys out of the academy all the time, you know. So, you know, trying to be the senior guy for them. We've got one right now, out of the last recruit class. And man, last shift was a jam up day. We were down at the academy. We got to go over, you know, got to force doors. We got to let him cut off the tip of the aerial. Man, he rescued a dummy, you know, coming down, you know, a fourth floor setup on the aerial. You know, being able to share stuff like that with him, like that was like one of the greatest days in a while that I've had at work. So, yeah, I'm really torn between working on that line of promoting up or maybe just kicking back and being that senior guy, and then just trying to spread the knowledge, you know, where I'm at, you know.
Right. No, I get you. I get you 100% because, you know, it's a question that, you know, I've had conversations with as well. Like, hey, when do you, and for me, it's one of those things like, I just, like, at the current moment, I'm just not there. I'm not willing to, just because, like, I've talked to so many people, and I'm not saying, like, this is a, like, that's the factor, but it makes you think. I know so many people that have promoted to like a company officer level. And like, if you wait a year or you haven't seen them in a while, you ask them, "Hey, how's it going? How do you like it?" A lot of them will tell you like they don't like it. And it's, you know, that it's just like there's a lot of red tape. And like, I'm not one to, I don't want to sit in an office setting. Like, you know, my captain, there are parts of the year, at least twice, I think, out of the year where he's gonna have to be in his office because he's got to do evaluations and he's got to do paperwork. And that's not, I like to stay active. I like to be out. I don't want to be cooped up in an office all day and having to, you know, use whatever forms that we're using. It's just not me. And I understand like you need to have people that want to be captains, but it's also okay if a person goes their whole career and they just retire like the senior man, like senior man and woman. Like there's nothing wrong with it. To me, it keeps you, as long as you're willing to, it being in that position, man, you're always moving, because in order to be good, you're in gear, you're constantly training. So your body, although as your body gets, you know, as you age, you get older, but you're still keeping those motions where, yeah, it's gonna hurt some days, but if you just keep on at it, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I've always, as a matter of fact, it was, I wasn't even on Charlotte yet. I was volunteering, working part-time with Rowan County Rescue Squad. And Charlotte guys brought the UASI trailer up there one day. It's the large command trailer. And I was talking with one of the guys who brought it up. I don't even remember who it was anymore. Talking with one of the guys there, and I was telling him, yeah, you know, because this was in the height of time. I was testing for Charlotte, trying to get on, and was talking about, you know, that and promotional stuff. And he's like, the great part thing about Charlotte is, you know, you don't have to promote if you don't want to. You know, like, we're so big. You know, he's like, you know, if you want to stay a firefighter, you know, you can stay a firefighter. But I'm pretty sure this is the first guy that ever told me this. And he was like, you know, but be the best firefighter you can be. You know, there is, and I've held on to that ever since. Like, there is not a thing wrong with not promoting, just as long as you're the best at whatever position you're at. So if you want to stay a firefighter, great. Be the best dang firefighter there is. You know, if you want to make engineer and not go any further, great. You better be the best engineer that knows how to pump that truck like nobody else can, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of one of the things I've held on to is, you know, don't let people pressure you into promoting. Make your own decision. But if your decision is to stay, which is nothing wrong with that, just be the best one that you can be.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely 100% correct. To me, it's all about the individual. We have so many, we have people out here that will look down on you if they're like, "Oh, well, you just let such and such get promoted over you." If the person doesn't want to promote, they don't want to promote. Like, it is what it is. And you know, I just want people to understand, don't feel pressure. Don't let peer pressure. And you know, there are people out there, man, they can be very convincing, what I call like a positive manipulation. They can get you to see, "Hey, but if you do this and that," and then what happens if you go, "Okay, you do it and you pass, you get in that position," and after a year, man, like you hate it. There are some guys that I actually know too that have been promoted and have went to the chief and go, "Listen, I'd like to take a demotion and go back." And they're looking at you like, "Seriously?" And they're like, "Yeah." And when they do that, they're the happiest that they've been. There's just some people that don't want to do it. So I agree with you. And another thing I'd like to hit on that you said, and I like that you say it, because it sometimes it's a negative connotation in fire service. You mentioned you're on ladder 31, and you said twice that I know of, you're not the busiest ladder. That's okay, because the way I look at it is, every organization and wherever the station is put, you can't have that deciding factor on if that station is going to be busy. So the way I like to look at it is, okay, yeah, there are busy engines and busy ladders out there. Most of the time, those are the trucks that are going to the fires. I know for one, we can definitely, because you're on Charlotte, so you can understand this example. Engine 22. Busy ride in Charlotte, busy engine. They go to fires, but to pick up the fires, they pick up double the medical calls first. So
That's what I tell a lot. I tell a lot of people, a lot of my young guys. So.
exactly. So I look at it as, yeah, they go to fires, they're picking up double the medicals to get to those fires, whereas the slow station, it's always the slower areas that have the biggest potential, because when it's burning, it's gonna be burning and it's gonna be good. And usually those are the stations where it's kind of like the outlying stations where you, as Charlotte is, you know, they try to put stations kind of close to each other. But like if it's a station that doesn't really get jobs and they get a job, it's like, man, this is like a ride to get there, and you're doing it by yourself. So I want people to understand, if you have the option and you want to go to a busy station, sure, put in for it. But if you get put out at a slower station, don't let that deter you from, oh, we're slow, I don't need to train, or I don't really need to put my gear on the truck. Like, always be ready, have that mindset. Because I am at a slow, like Mooresville has two ladders, ladder five, ladder six. I'm on the slower ladder, and it's only because geographically where ladder five is placed, we have like an AVL, closest unit dispatch, where they're geographically located, they get most of the calls. It's not my fault. I didn't say, hey, we're going to put station six here. I wanted to try something new, so I went on ladder six. Yeah, it sucks when you hear ladder five, ladder five, ladder five constantly, but we have our days. We have our days where we run like six, seven, and then we have our days where we run one or two. Like it is what it is. It pays the same. I also want to add, I can run 30 calls or I can run five. I still get the same paycheck,
That's
but I
right.
also look at it as, if I'm here, be there, like own that slow station.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted people to understand. But your version of slow, so what's Ladder 31's like yearly? Approximately.
I think last year's numbers, and it's kind of it may have ticked off a little bit, so because we this is a whole topic I won't even really dive into, but we reconfigured our calls with Medic,
Okay.
so that changed a lot of responses. But I think last year's numbers, so we're a two-piece house, engine and a ladder company, and I think our last 4 years numbers was about 1700 a truck.
Okay. Which
So
is
you look at
still
common
fairly
fire alarms,
busy.
we're probably three, still probably at least 3,000 for a house
Okay.
for a year,
Okay. Which is still
which is not
fairly
bad.
busy. No,
Yeah.
it's not
That's
like,
it's not bad at all.
you guys are like, yeah, we run less than like 500. Like that would
Right.
be slow, but you know, but I get your point, because there are busy ladder companies in Charlotte. So, but I just want to make that connotation, because like so many people will feel bad, or they won't want to be prideful of, hey, I work at this station. Like
Yeah.
that's not on you that your area doesn't run the call volume, because
Oh, yeah.
those high sought out stations, man, there are so many people that are putting in for that it's probably like a lottery on getting in there.
Yeah.
But
And like you said, it's what you make of it, man. Since we got our new guy, we've been pulling ladders out, throwing ladders. He hasn't really gone over with the engine side. Need to practice, pulling some lines with him. But there's stuff to be done. Just because you're at a slow station doesn't mean you can't train, doesn't mean you can't go over stuff. I know the engine captain, we've done a couple days of like scenario discussions after lunch, whatever, sitting at the kitchen table. It's all about taking pride in where you are. And I do love my house. It's a good station. Like I said, it's close to my house too. I can be there real quick. And it's a growing area. I mean, they're throwing apartments and townhomes up in our area like it ain't nothing. I bet you we've got probably like eight or nine apartment complexes now. And then a bunch of townhome settings, and then rests, single family, individual homes. We've got one true nursing home, two one true nursing home, one assisted living facility, and two 4-story elderly. I say elderly, it's like 60 and older
Right,
apartment
communities.
complex, apartment buildings.
Okay.
So we've got, I mean, we've got a lot in our area. I mean, as far as new construction and people, so it's not bad.
Right.
I do like it.
Okay. So, you mentioned, you know, before you take that step, the company officer, if you decide to, you want to explore a different assignment. What assignment would that be? Like, are you looking to go on an engine, or are you looking to try to find another ladder?
I would definitely stay on the ladder. I will say that I've been at my time at Concord, and then some of the time here at Charlotte. I've been on an engine for a lot of years. Now, not making any claim that I have mastered engine company work, but I can pull a line, and I can do all right pumping a truck. But I can. There's always stuff to be worked on, but I know engine company work, and not saying that, stepping on engine company toes, engine company guys' toes, but it's knowing your lines and setups, it's pulling them, and then it's pumping. That's engine company work. So I've been trying to get more into ladder company work ever since I finally got back on the ladder 31. Taking search classes and throwing more ground ladders and any op if I can get an opportunity to vent and practice forcible entry, trying to just practice all the stuff that a ladder company does, because that's just not a lot of stuff I got to focus on over the years. So I've told my guys, and I've looked at it, and there's two assignments, two busy ladder companies that I would leave 31 for. One is Which is soon to be Tower 27 in University area. They just got their new mid-mount tower in. Should be in service probably in the next couple months. They right now are the busiest ladder company in the city. But like you said, I mean, they run a lot of medicals. But the other assignment I was at shortly before making Firefighter 2, I was only there for 6 months, and that is ladder two in South End, South Boulevard. Now, the hang up with that one is they're getting the new tiller that's coming in. Me personally, I don't care what truck I ride. I don't care if it's a rear mount stick, if it's a platform, or if it's a tiller. But there are a lot of youngins on the department that, and even some my age, that see tiller and lose their mind. Because they want that truck. So that ride, unfortunately, is getting ready to be locked up for a while, because right now they're training all the guys that are on ladder two now, they're training all of them to do the tiller stuff. So unless they promote out, ain't none of them leaving. We've heard, I think this is unofficial, but talking to some of the guys the other day, the tiller driver's position will be an engineer's position. There was talk if it was going to be an engineer's position or just a firefighter two rotating out. But from what I understand, from what we've heard, it is that they are going to make that a second engineer on that truck. I would love to get back to ladder two. I like two's area, just being in the heart of everybody. Like I'm a people watcher. I like to be around all that type of stuff. And but unfortunately, that ride's going to be locked up for a while unless somebody promotes. So with those two, unless one of those two comes available, like I said, I like 31. I like being on that ladder company. With like I said, with all the growth that we've seen in our area, the potential's there. And we're by ourselves for a while. So, and we've actually there 31 has actually had some really good fires. The only problem for me is that they hadn't been on B shift. So A shift, ever since I've been out there about the last 4 years, A shift has had some good rocking fires out there. So just gotta wait my turn, man. Gotta wait my turn for B shift to catch one.
It comes in waves. That's usually how it goes. One shift will catch all the jobs, and the next you know they'll go dry, and then it moves to another shift. It's a cycle. So I totally understand. Let's see here. Actually, let's talk about outside training because
Okay.
I know, I think it was a couple weeks ago, you went to, did you go to Florida for something?
Yep. Yeah, down to Orlando. Yeah.
Oh, you went to the Orlando Fire Conference. Okay, so my question to you, and I like talking about this because I can't not say it enough that I truly believe getting outside your department's walls for a training is paramount, man. So to not only just network, pick up other ideas, bring it back to your department, not saying you got to take it all and go, hey, this is what we need to do, but take little bits and pieces and make it work for your department. But how big is outside training, and how did you find out about like, oh, there's a whole world out here of like firefighter conventions? Like I didn't know that until I was finally exposed to it. So, how did you find out?
So I've always kind of known about it just as they popped up. So, I remember looking back, into the early days of my career, there most of these conferences didn't exist. They only started popping up in the last, what, maybe 10, like 8 to 10 years or something like that, like somewhere in that. Whenever I first probably come into the fire service, the biggest, and it still is the biggest, but probably one of the only ones was FDIC. And I was lucky enough to get to go to it one time. But all these others didn't start popping up till like last few years. So it's kind of something I've just kind of watched over the years. And then I've only been going just the last few years because, like, I held off, like, whenever I was single at the time or didn't have kids, and I could have traveled a little bit, but I was a little frugal with my money and stuff like that, so didn't want to spend money doing this or doing that. So now I'm playing catch up. But man, you are right, man. You've got to get outside of your department and learn. Like, I've learned some things. And not saying that my department couldn't teach them, but I've learned some things, picked up some techniques and things, come back that has helped me tremendously on stuff. So I mean, yeah, the benefit, there's so much benefit to outside training. There's definitely more than one way to do stuff. And you gotta be able to pick up on that.
Awesome. So I'm assuming you probably took truckee classes down at the OFC. Did you happen to take anything with Basil, or what'd you take when you were down there?
So my first, just I've been to Orlando conference twice. And I've only been to a couple others, but man, I tell you, Orlando Fire Conference, and this will be my plug for them. Orlando Fire Conference, has been so inviting, man. Like, the people are genuine. The instructors that they have are genuine. Like, I've know some personally that have been down there teaching, and it's just been a favorite of mine. The first year I went, I took it was like just a truck ops class that was like throwing ground ladders and some search and stuff. And then I took FD10's hoarder house that year. This year that I went, I took everything truck, which was great. You had Champo, you had Ron Smith from Indiana, had Sam Hiddle from Wichita.
Wichita, that dude is a
But he is
fucking
a he is a
amazing.
he's a roof guru. I mean, if there's anything about a roof, he knows it. And then also took, what was my other class? One that I'd been trying to get for a while, Can Confidence. But no, I had one bad day. I think that was my number one pick, because whenever you register for Orlando, like, you literally go through, and every class that's offered, when you go to the registration form, you literally have to number them in order of what you want them. So there's like 15 classes, 15, 20 classes, and you literally have to go through there and number them, which one you're like your priority. And I think that was my number one pick, but I didn't get it. It went pretty quick.
Now his
But
classes usually do, but I took a CAN class, man, and it's just because you don't know what you don't know, but man, you could do a lot of work with the CAN. Like I know when I took it, my first position was, all right, I was the can man, and I had searchers, and I had to keep the fire in check while they conducted their search. And so, like, I'm like, seriously, a can? And I'm thinking it was gonna be like, it was a decent sized fire. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, just keep it in check. And they're like, they're showing me little signs. If you see it do that, just give it a little couple squirts. If you get too hot, find a position. If you can, get behind a wall, but keep, and like doing it, actually like putting in the reps made me go, you man, you really can do some work with the can. Like, it's not just, oh, you know, it's just a water can, blah, 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 blah. No, you can, if you apply it right, do the techniques right, man, you can do a lot of work and get some searches done while you're there.
The bulk of that class was that, and also like isolating, like if there wasn't a door, so like the fire room didn't have a door, so like you'd pull one off from another room to like make a door.
Okay.
And man, I tell you, I mean, it got warm in there. I got like two or three runs, but I was completely jealous of the last crew that went. Because this was in the burn, this was inside the burn building, at the college, and then they used like just like regular wood, like studs and plywood, to like make the rooms. I think the burn room was wide open, and then they subdivided it, you know, with wood. Dude, the last crew that went, the entire prop inside caught on fire, and they had two water cans. That's all they had. They didn't even have a line. So they were in there, damn, knocking it down with the entire prop ablaze, with two water cans.
No, I mean, like I said, it's amazing, man. And but yeah, well, I should have probably quoted that. Like, it's gonna get a little toasty, but they teach you like, hey, try to find an area where you can kind of, you know, shield yourself a little bit. But I mean, no doubt about it, it's not like you have an inch or three quarter line, you can hit it. I mean, but you could still do work. But anyways, no, that's awesome that you took that class and that you continue to go down there. Let's see the next topic. Let's talk about leadership, man. So you've been around, you mentioned Whitson and your current captain now as like big, you know, people you can go to that are knowledgeable, smart, and you know, things of that nature. But with you potentially wanting to be a company officer in the future, what do you look for and what do you think a leader like leadership quality should be?
Leadership to me is still being one of the guys. Now, you know, I'll say that, you know, like you said, you know, you said you didn't want to promote because, you know, you don't want to like sit in the office when you have to and stuff like that. That's one of the things, man. You know, and yes, there may be a time that you have to be in that office, but you know, leadership to me is still surrounding yourself with the guys, being friends, being a mentor, and you know, knowing when to draw the line between buddy and boss. To me, that's leadership because there will be those times, you know, you're gonna, you know, especially as like a captain level. You know, where you're with your guys every day, you know, you're gonna joke and pick and stuff like that. But there's gonna be those times where you got to draw that line. So you have to be good at that. You have to just have a sound mind, man. You know, it's like I said, you know, that decision making about, you know, the go or no go. Because if you're a good leader, and you may not know that you're a good leader, but if you're a good leader, your guys are going to trust you. Kind of what I didn't really say it, but that's kind of what I was alluding to with that whole go or no go in the vacant house. You know, if your guys think you are a good leader, they're going to trust you, and you give them an order, they're going to go do it. You know, if you're not a good leader, and you may not know it, you may think you are, but you know, if you're not a good leader and you tell your guys to go in, they're probably going to question you on it. Like, hey, Cap, you know, like, I don't know, that's a good idea. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just, leadership is so broad. You know, there's so many books and things that you can read on leadership. Like, I've got a list, or seen what who's reading what or who's recommending what leadership book. I hadn't even begun to dive down that rabbit hole as far as like leadership books. But yeah, it's just like I said, it's knowing where the line is, and it's just not leading your guys astray, man. Making sound decisions, stand by your decisions. One of the so I don't know if you follow like Charlotte's social media stuff, but they're doing a captain's corner thing where they're videos on the captains, and the one they just put out yesterday was Mario Arango, and Mario is a great dude. And in that video, he said, I may not always make the best decisions, but I will stand by it, and I will tell you why I made that decision. So that's another part of it is, us as firefighters, leaders, humans, we're not always going to make the best decisions. But the thing is, can you stand behind it, and can you explain why you made that decision? To me, that's another quality of a good leader, because we're not all going to be right every time, so it's things like that. And like I've still got a lot of work to do on that myself, which is why I find it even a little hard to answer some of the stuff in this topic, really. It's just because I myself have a lot of work to do in that area. If I had it
Not
more figured out, man, I could probably breeze through an answer. I know I'm stammering a little bit, but it's I haven't been that leader yet,
But in a way, you are leading, because I remember seeing that post you talked about. There's no better feeling than when you can take a new guy, like your rookie that you have, and you go, "Hey, we're gonna go out, we're gonna throw some ladders, we're gonna cut some holes," and like getting those sets and reps, watching him or her be able to perform it proficiently, correctly. And you're the one that's kind of giving them little points here and there. Not saying that you're taking all the credit, but you have a little input in their success, because it could be easy for y'all to be like, "Oh, we got a new person. Cool. You do dishes, clean the station. We're gonna sit in the recliners. You can't sit there. We'll tell you." You know what I mean? Like you're actively, positively trying to make that person better by showing them the right way. So that is a leadership quality. So I totally get you, because the way like I was brought up in the fire service was totally different. Not saying it was wrong. I think it made me the person that I am today, but hindsight 2020, I would not want to do the same things that were done to me for the newer generation, because that's not doing anything but just making this vicious cycle. So it's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go out and do this. If you want to do it, cool. If not, it's on you. When you perform poorly, don't I'm going to be there to go, and I hate to do that, but I'm going to tell you, I told you so. Like, you need to get out, you need to do things if you want to be good at it." Like, I remember when I look up to like different people. I mentioned the Clark brothers. Those guys, I watch their videos and I'll see them in training, and I'm like, "Man, these guys are jam up." Yeah, they're jam up. It's not like they're jam up because they sat in the recliners all day. They're jam up because they went out and put the work when it was either cold, raining, or hot. And people are looking at them like, "What are they doing? Oh, those guys are overachievers." No, they're not overachievers. They're successful because they put in the work. So you're showing your rookie, and I'm trying to show our newest. He's not really new anymore. He's like 2 years in. But like, if you want to be good at this, you have to continually put in the work. So I totally get what you're saying. And I think with the way your mindset is now, the fact that you go to these outside trainings, no one's telling you, "Hey, Rusty, we want you to go." You're going on your own. When you eventually make that move to company officer, I don't think you'll have any issues. And the fact that you mentioned stand by your decision, that's the biggest thing. Like, if you can stand by and go, "This is why I made it," it is what it is. And the fact that you also mentioned earlier, being a captain isn't just to say I'm a captain. It's a position where you are literally, you have 3 to 4 men or women that are underneath of you that you want to see go home. So I love it, man. Before we part out, is there anything else you want to say? Any little tips and tricks for anyone that's coming in, that's new, that's green, that's seasoned, whatever? I know Charlotte's hiring. They call it the 100. I see it on social media. I got a lot of friends in Charlotte, so like I'm not trying to plug in Charlotte, but some people tend to feel a certain way when you have an individual like that's on my department and then they leave to go to Charlotte, man. I always wish that person the best. Like, if you want your experience, yeah, I mean, it's what I got like 40, 45 stations? 43, 44? No, 43.
43. We're getting ready to add what, two more stations?
Okay. So you got 43 stations, wealth of, I mean, every day you turn on the news, it's either a shooting, stabbing, or fire. I mean, it's Charlotte. It is what it is. So, like, I always wonder why someone will look at a person a different way when they're like, hey, my ultimate goal is to go to Charlotte, man. If that is what it is, that's great. I mean,
Yeah.
it's all the same thing. Just as I tell people, Charlotte's just on a grander scale. Same problems. Every department has problems. Every department has slugs and go-getters, but it's all about who you surround yourself with.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I said, I've got friends in all different sizes of departments, from Salisbury, Salisbury, Mooresville, Kannapolis, Concord, I mean, I know guys from all over, and I don't want at all feel that Charlotte is better than any of them. You know what I mean? Like, heck, there's a friend of mine that I go to the gym with. He's a Salisbury fireman. He's probably one of the most fit firefighters that I know. I mean, dude's a beast, and like I would put him up against any firefighter physical wise, So I mean, yeah, just because it's Charlotte, I mean, I love Charlotte, but yeah, every department is great in its own way,
Exactly.
It
Exactly.
really is. Every department is.
And I will say though, if you want some jobs, man, Salisbury is Salisbury, Salisbury. I mean, they see their fair share of work for sure. So, Rusty, man, but I truly want to thank you, man, for coming on and talk a little bit, trying to spread some positivity, the good word, that it's okay to love the job, man. I appreciate you
Absolutely.
accepting my invite and coming on.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, because like I said, this is my first time doing anything like this, a podcast, so yeah, kind of stumbled through a little bit,
Nah,
but
you did
man, like I
fine.
said, I've seen some of the people that you've had on here, and like I said, it was an honor that you reached out to me, just because I'm like he had him on here and him on here. I'm
Nah,
like,
man,
nah, like, come on.
it's the humility right there. But it's just, I can tell people, it's just a conversation two guys are having. It's just being recorded. And but it's I reach out to people that I see have the love for the job, like have that passion of wanting to do better. So that's why, like, when I reach out to people, it's not like I reach out to because it's this person. No, it's because they have that drive and that passion to be good at it. And I see that in you. I see it in your post. Like I said, there's no slugs that I know that go to fire conferences. They all look at the ones that go and go, did the department pay for you? No. Oh, so I'm not paying my way to go. Like, you know what I mean? That's what slugs do. It's always the positive guys that are looking to better themselves. So, like I said, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking the good word.
Absolutely, man. This is a blast. I've enjoyed this.
All right. Thanks, pal. Have a good day.
You too.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.